welcome to the Back Row Redskins Show, guys. This is your host, Manny. And look, it's been a while. Got some great things going on in the YouTube community on the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. Plenty, plenty Washington football content there. I want you guys to just listen to the snippet from my live stream last night on contracts. We're going to talk about some other teams, but I want you guys to realize that these contracts have to make sense for the football team as we start to approach paying people. So I kind of want to talk about what all-pro money looks like, what Pro Bowl money look like, and what regular money look like. So I hope you guys enjoy this
for
episode.
A little bit. I'm going to talk about some football, and I'm going to kind of relay this to my favorite team, which is the Washington football team. So a guy by the name of Fred Warner got paid today, and Fred Warner is an inside linebacker, and the guy is amazing. I think he got an extension for $95 million, and 40 plus of that is guaranteed. I'm going to get to the specifics in just a minute. So it was a 5-year extension. How is it that the 49ers are able to pay all their top guys? George Kittle's got paid. You know what I'm saying? George Kittle is the highest paid tight end. Trent Williams is the highest paid left tackle. Now Fred Warner agrees to a 5-year, $95 million extension, and he becomes the highest paid linebacker in the league. It's just crazy to me. You know, I'm going to share my screen in a minute. I'm going to pull up some stats, and I'm going to kind of get into what Fred Warner does and how this can relate to other linebackers that are about to get paid, especially one by the name of Jamin Davis. Talk about Jamin Davis, who has not played a snap yet, and I'm going to talk about Fred Warner, and I'm going to talk about the guy from the Colts. So, this 49ers got that Brooklyn Nets bag. Yeah, they got a bag. I don't know how they're able to pay everybody. But you know what? The Niners can do that because they traded 3 first-round picks to get Trey Lance. Trey Lance has to work out in order for the 49ers to have some success, because now you've put all your faith in a rookie. Obviously, Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to start. You know, he's going to get the bulk of the work to start the season. And if they feel that Trey Lance should play, then they bring in Trey Lance. It might be like an Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes type changing of the guard for them. But it's amazing that they're able to pay everybody. So you have the highest paid left tackle, highest paid tight end, highest paid middle linebacker. You got a great defensive line, and people are going to start to come up. You know what I'm saying? Nick Bosa, he's going to be due for some money, you know, soon. You know, maybe he's like a year or two away from big time money, but that's a lot of money. And I'm not sure that, you know, this money goes round. I am not sure this money goes around. Some sad news just coming in from Woj. It says the Atlanta Hawks center Onyeka Okongwu, the 6th pick overall of the 2020 NBA draft, underwent surgery to repair his torn right shoulder labrum on Wednesday and will miss approximately 6 months. Yikes. Yeah, Okongwu was a great player. Out of Chino Hills, he actually played with Lonzo Ball. He played with the Ball brothers, and you know, it's just sad news. It's sad news that he's going to miss 6 months. But you know, wish him the best. Wish him a speedy recovery. But let's go ahead and get into Fred Warner real quick. Fred Warner. Let me see. He says, "I want Rodgers on the 49ers. Rodgers on the 49ers would work, but I think they've invested too much in Trey Lance to get a Aaron Rodgers." So I really don't know how an Aaron Rodgers deal would work. Maybe they trade Jimmy Garoppolo and maybe 2 first-round picks to get Rodgers, but it just doesn't make any sense investing 3 first-round picks in a rookie to move up in the draft to now get Rodgers. If they add Rodgers without losing anything, they win the title, hands down. But 2018, Fred Warner was drafted, and he had 124 tackles. 39 of those were assisted. 2019, his second season, he had 118 tackles, three sacks, one INT, and a touchdown, a 46-yard touchdown, okay? Then 2020, 125 tackles, 46 of those were assisted, one sack, two INTs. So this is elite production, and this guy has only played three seasons. So in three seasons, he has amassed 367 tackles. That's amazing. Four sacks. You know, like the interior guys don't get a lot of sacks, but four sacks and then three interceptions, one touchdown. Those are great numbers. And when I pull up his the rest of his accolades, I believe that he's an all-pro. So when you say, how was this guy able to get $95 million? That's why. 360-plus tackles in 3 years. So any young player that's in high school right now or in college that's watching the show or that's going to watch the replay, look, if you want to get big-time money, you got to do big-time things. You got to produce. And it's the NFL is all about what have you done for me lately. You know, when you look at Fred Warner, he's 24 years old. You can't beat that. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. He was a third-round pick, in 2018, pick 70 overall from BYU. I mean, it does not matter what round you get drafted in. You see what I'm saying? It's all about production. And in his third season, he made the Pro Bowl and the first-team All-Pro. So when you're first-team All-Pro, you get paid. Now, for the Washington football fans that are going to be watching the show and watching the replay, you ask yourself, you have Brandon Scherff, who's now an all-pro. Why is it that he's not getting the same kind of respect that Fred Warner's getting? Obviously, it's two different positions. Obviously, guards do not get paid. But check this out, though. But you got to say that he's an all-pro, right? If we're going to base Fred Warner getting paid off of because he was an all-pro, because he was a pro bowler, well, Brandon Scherff, pro bowler, all-pro, is just how the cookie crumbles. Brandon Scherff, he gets hurt. The injuries, the age, the upside, all of those things are not there. But Brandon Scherff is top two at his position. You can kind of argue that Brandon Scherff is top two, top three at that guard position. But guess what? Quentin Nelson has not gotten paid yet. Nobody in their right mind would make Brandon Scherff the highest paid guard. Well, actually, if you're smart, you want to get a Brandon Scherff deal done. If Brandon Scherff is your guy, you want to get the Brandon Scherff deal done. Because guess what? When Quentin Nelson gets paid, then that's only going to drive Brandon Scherff's value even higher. As of right now, Brandon Scherff is playing that franchise tag out for the second year in a row at $18 million. So that's his base. He's not going to go lower than $18 million a year. So maybe some team out there pays Brandon Scherff a contract of $20 million a year. I just don't see how that happens for a guard, but you know, it's a chess match right now. If the Colts were smart, they would extend Quentin Nelson right away. Extend Quentin Nelson right away. That way you don't have to worry about that again. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna pull up another linebacker. And I'm going to try to paint a picture here for Washington football fans on what it means when players play exceptionally, they deserve to get paid. The Washington football team have tons and tons of players that are going to ball out. Not just this season, for years to come. And when it comes time to, you know, for you know, working out a deal or paying people, you want to do it before that Pro Bowl season. You kind of have to guess. You kind of have to bet on yourself. Like, for example, Terry McLaurin is due to get paid. He's due to get paid. And it'll be nice. It'll be nice to get the deal done before this season or after next season, most definitely, because if you wait for free agency, oh, it can get ugly. It can get ugly. Look at Allen Robinson right now and what they're going through. You know what I'm saying? So, for Allen Robinson, he's winning because he's getting paid. But guess what? teams now have to spend more money when you don't get deals done quickly. Another guy I want to talk about is Darius Leonard. You know, 6'2", 230 pounds, inside linebacker. He can do it all. I'm pretty sure he can play some outside linebacker as well. But he was drafted in 2018, and in that first year, won the Rookie of the Year. He's a two-time first-team All-Pro in 2018 and 2020. You know, he's second-team All-Pro in 2019. So every single season this guy has been in the NFL, he's been All-Pro, 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 whether it's first-team or second-team, okay? He was a sacks. I mean, he was the tackles leader in 2018, and, you know, he's been doing all these great things, even in college. He was a second-round pick, pick 36 overall. So what I'm trying to say is Fred Warner is probably getting given the 49ers a discount. You think $95 million is a lot? Darius Leonard is going to get more money than Fred Warner. That's a guarantee. That is a – I can guarantee you that. Says Darius Leonard is one of my fave Colts. Yeah, he's amazing, man. He's amazing. And it's crazy that he didn't go in the first round. It's crazy how linebackers are overlooked sometimes in the draft. And when they do go in the draft, they go from like pick 20 down. And every now and then you get, you get those Devin Bush in the first round. You get those Devin White's in the first round. But sometimes if your eyes is open and if you're a great scouter, you can get you a guy like Darius Leonard in the second round. So here's a guy. I'm going to pull up his stats. So for him to have All-Pro, 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 and Fred Warner is a one-time All-Pro, you know what I'm saying? Like the numbers, the stats are comparable. The stats are comparable. But I think this guy is about to get paid. You hear me? He's about to get paid. He has 366 tackles for his career. He has 15 sacks, 9 forced fumbles, 4 fumble recoveries, 7 interceptions, 22 pass deflections. Wait a minute. It says 10 defensive touchdowns. I don't know if I can trust this. I think somebody was having fun. There is no way he has 10 defensive touchdowns. That has to be fake. That has to be so fake, man. These guys have made me so mad. Wikipedia, never use Wikipedia, man. There is no way he has 10 defensive touchdowns. And if he does, I'll say wow, because I don't watch Darius Leonard. But I can almost guarantee there is no way he has 10 defensive touchdowns. Now I'm going to use NFL.com. I think NFL.com is more safe. So disregard what I said about 10 defensive touchdowns. Somebody was playing tricks on Wikipedia. There's just no way. There's just no way. I'm not going to agree to that until I see it with my own two eyes. So we're going to pull up the stats for Darius Leonard, and we're going to go through it. So his rookie season, this guy had 145 tackles. 145 tackles in his rookie season, okay? 93 of those were solo tackles. And this was a guy people said, you know what, he's smaller, he's on a smallish side of things, you know, kind of like Jamin Davis. I'm just saying. So this guy is kind of small, you know, they don't know if he can tackle. And I think because of his size was why he fell to the second round. 7 sacks. You can't beat that. You know what I'm saying? 2 pass defense. And for the record, correction, because Wikipedia lied, he has 1 touchdown. Maybe I saw 1.0 and said 10. I don't know. They made me mad. So I'm not even going to go back and check on that. But you can kind of see why Darius Leonard is about to get paid. LaDarius is asking, is Sherman still on the 49ers? He's a free agent. He's a free agent. And with the situation that just happened, I don't think that Sherman plays football this season. Maybe He works up to now. I mean, he still has to go through Goodell and they have to clear him and everything. But no, Sherman is a free agent right now. And he was actually waiting to be signed. And I didn't go into all the details of how, you know, what happened to him. It's just sad, man. I hope that he gets the help that he needs. But yes, Sherman is not on the 49ers currently. But back to Darius Leonard, man. I gotta keep looking at this because a lot of Washington fans are saying Jamin Davis for Rookie of the Year. To get Rookie of the Year, Jamin Davis will have to be top 10 in tackles in the NFL, period. I'm not saying he has to get 145 tackles, but he has to be in that 120 type range to even be in the conversation of defensive player of the year. I mean, rookie of the year. But, you know, then again, if all the other rookies, you know, it all depends on, I guess, all the rookies combined. So, but Jamin Davis definitely has a shot. He has a shot, you know. But, man, these Darius Leonard numbers are just amazing, man. 145 tackles and 7 sacks. And you see why he made the all-pro team. I mean, you're seeing it. You're seeing why he's gonna shatter $95 million. $95 million is nothing. Like I said, 49ers, they did great paying their guy now rather than later. You know, in year after year three, you pay your guy. So hopefully Washington pays Terry McLaurin after year three. I would love to see it done now, but I guess after year three, then you can go ahead and extend your guy. It's better to do it after year three than waiting for year four. Especially guys like Warner, who doesn't have that first round pedigree, who doesn't have they don't have that option of giving him that, you know, that fifth year option. So you got to kind of pay your guys now, then waiting for after year four, free agency and all of that. You know, it gets crazy. So year two for Leonard, you know, 99 total tackles, which is not bad. I read something different on Wikipedia, but I guess 99 is probably more accurate. That's probably why he was second team all pro his second year. He had 5 sacks, but he also had 5 interceptions. So that's deserving of all pro. Whether it's first or second, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure somebody, you know, outplayed him in 2019. I don't feel like looking it up. You know, and then he only played 13 games as well. So that's probably why he didn't get that over 100 sacks, things of that nature. But 99 tackles, 5 sacks, and 5 INTs for a middle linebacker or an inside linebacker. That's amazing. And he had a touchdown. He had a touchdown. And I'm seeing touchdown yards, I mean, or I guess yards after INTs was 92, but I mean, that's just amazing. I'm just amazed. I'm amazed. And then in 2020, he had 122 tackles. He had 3 sacks. He had 7 pass defense. So he defends a lot of passes. So not only is he a great inside linebacker, not only is he a great tackler, he's also a great coverage linebacker. And that's something that you cannot take for granted. It's hard to get these guys that can cover tight ends. Darius Leonard is like one of the best, if not the best, linebackers. And then there's so many great ones. Devin White is another one. I love me some Devin White. Devin White is awesome. And we saw how great he was in the Super Bowl. You need these quarterbacks of the defenses if you want to have any success. So now back to how this ties in with Washington football. So you guys are saying Jamin Davis, defensive rookie of the year. And you see what it takes to be a defensive rookie of the year. You can't compare him to Chase Young because those are two different positions. Like I've said, the number has to be at least 120 tackles because there's going to be other guys. There's going to be other defenders, other linebackers that are going to produce. And they're going to want to say, hey, I'm better than Jamin Davis. But Jamin Davis under this defense, this defensive scheme with that defensive line, Big Matt, Settle, Payne, Allen, Chase, and Sweat on the outside, things can get fun. Things can get fun for this defense. So a lot can happen. A lot can happen. I'm not saying that Jamin Davis doesn't win the Rookie of the Year, but I just want people to kind of see what it takes. Now, if Jamin Davis does win Rookie of the Year, guess what? You're already setting up yourself for greatness. That means you have to produce. You have to outproduce that every single year. Now, he can win Defensive Rookie of the Year and still not be an All-Pro, and that's totally fine. You don't have to be a Darius Leonard. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has to be who they are. But what I'm saying is, you guys see Darius Leonard's numbers. You guys see Fred Warner's numbers. And let's say that Jamin Davis is producing like this. Maybe not exactly, but producing like this. Then guess what? That's another first-rounder that's about to get paid. So it's like, how do you keep all these first-rounders or how do you keep all this talent? Because sometimes you find guys like Antonio Gibson in the third, Terry McLaurin in the third. Hopefully, Dyami Brown follows, you know, that same vibe, and continue to produce. So, man, a lot can happen. The Washington football team definitely have some decisions to make. Training camp is starting, man. Training camp is starting, and we have all been waiting for it. You know, we want to see what happens with Landon Collins. You know, we want to see what happens with Cam Curl. You know, is there going to be a battle? You know, are we going to see more, you know, safeties than linebackers on the field? And it's like, what are the football team going to do with linebacker depth? I know I've talked about this in previous videos. I've talked about this in previous podcasts, but there's a lot of decisions to be made. What happens at wide receiver? Wide receiver is going to be an interesting camp because you got guys like Harmon and Sims and AGG who are all similar. So what happens there? What happens with Adam Humphries? What happens with Steven Sims? A lot of us Washington fans are tired of Steven Sims Jr. And who knows what happens? I can't really say I know what's about to happen. An injury or two can change the entire dynamics of everything. Look at Cam Akers. Look at what happened to him. And this is why I say teams should draft running backs every 2 years. They drafted Daryl Henderson. And, you know what I'm saying, the next year they drafted Cam Akers. And everybody was like, are they crazy? No. Running back is a position that you got to continue to draft and continue to draft and continue to draft. Why? Because you can't trust those guys, you know. As much as I love Antonio Gibson for the Washington football team, guess what? Next year, you might want to draft another running back or in the next couple of years, draft another running back. It's a position that doesn't last anymore. I'd rather have an elite wide receiver than have an elite running back just because you don't even know how many years these running backs can last. Look at Saquon Barkley. He was taken so high in the draft, and he has not paid off yet for the Giants. And guess what? They got to pick up his fifth-year option because they invested so much draft capital in terms of where they drafted him at. They could have traded back and gotten more value that can help their team. Maybe they could have gotten some guys that could help that Giants team in the trenches. You know what I'm saying? But no, you want to draft a running back in the top five. You know, it's crazy to me, you know. But guess what? There are some running backs that are special, and everybody was looking at Saquon Barkley as being that next Adrian Peterson type kind of guy, you know. But it just is what it is. Speaking of Adrian Peterson, he still wants to play. Does he go to the Rams? I don't know. Maybe he goes to the Rams. Maybe he fits that team. Who knows? But Adrian Peterson is so close to passing that next back. And I think he's so close to passing Barry Sanders, you know. But I'm just excited that football is coming back. Football is coming back. And, you know, I'm excited for my Washington football team. I think this is a year that we do something special. Everybody is afraid of Fitzpatrick. I've been seeing a lot of chatter in the fantasy world. What do you do with Fitzpatrick? Is Fitzpatrick the guy? Is Fitzpatrick this? Do you think that Fitzpatrick has the best career he's ever had? Do you think that Fitzpatrick cracks 30 touchdowns this year? I don't know if he cracks 30. You know, somebody was showing me the stats. I think it was George Carmi. He says the last Washington football team quarterback to have 30-plus touchdowns or to even crack 30 was like so many years ago. It might have even been in the 60s. I can't even think. I can't even remember. But so I don't think that Fitzpatrick cracks 30. 30 is a tough number. 27 would be great. I think 27 is perfect. I think that 24 is probably safe. You know, I did my offensive predictions, my offensive skilled. I ranked my top seven offensive skill players. Yo, we got T-Ho in the building, man. You came right in time. I'm at the Washington Football Talk at this point of the podcast. So, yeah, hop on in. Chime in any questions you have, any concerns. But, you know, just kind of free flowing right now. And as I say that, my face is fading. My face is fading on this stream right now. It's crazy. I'm going to have to adjust myself. Yeah, I don't think you guys really care about my face anyways. But, you know, we're just talking Washington football, man. Training camp is coming up. Back to Fitzpatrick. You know, does Taylor Heinicke have enough to push Fitzpatrick? I think they brought Fitzpatrick here for a reason. I think that Fitzpatrick is great for a guy like Terry McLaurin, to be honest. I just think it's a win-win scenario if you have Terry McLaurin happy, you know, because he's a guy that you got to pay. And I don't know if Taylor Heinicke does enough. I mean, we've seen a small sample size. You know, we know who Fitzpatrick is. We get it. You know, gunslinger. He's going to come in here, throw the ball, sling the ball, that kind of thing. But does he have enough? Does he have enough? That's what it all boils down to. Let me see the comments. T-Ho says, are we going to keep Adam Humphries? Because I heard rumors that we are going to trade him. I think those rumors are false. I have not seen any rumors about trading Adam Humphries. And this is why. Adam Humphries is on a one-year deal. He can be cut, and he can choose whatever team he wants to go to. I don't think anybody trades any assets for a guy that you can get for free. Adam Humphries is a guy that's very replaceable. You know, he's not a guy that people are going to want to go trade for. Now, if you're talking Antonio Gandy-Golden, or if you're talking a guy like even Kelvin Harmon, those are guys that could possibly get traded. You know, those are guys that people would actually want to go and trade for because of the upside there. Adam Humphries is just a nice veteran. Like, think about this. Every team in the NFL had a chance to sign Adam Humphries, okay? Obviously, Adam Humphries decided to sign with Washington, but if people wanted Adam Humphries, they would have, you know, signed him in free agency. That's all I'm trying to say, respectfully. So, yeah, I think those rumors are false. But Adam Humphries is a guy that can possibly be in a bubble. I don't see Adam Humphries possibly making a team. I mean, he has a chance to make the team, but it's not a guarantee. I don't think it's a guarantee. If Dax Mill outplays Humphries, he's gone. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things can happen with Adam Humphries. So he's not necessarily a guy that's a lot to make the team. And he has that issue with injuries. He has that issue with you know, concussions and things of that nature. So he says, T.O. says, we have two great vets, Curtis and Adam. Yes, I love Curtis Samuel. I think I did my prediction, and I had him at about 800 yards receiving. And somebody was saying, oh, if you're paying him that much money, he needs to give you more than 800. Think about it. Targets have to be spread, right? If Terry is to have 1,000 yards, or I predicted Terry for 1,400, okay? So if I predict Terry for 1,400, there's just no way that Curtis can have 1,000. It's possible. It's possible that Terry doesn't even get close to 1,400, but that's just kind of what I see. That's kind of how I based my mini prediction. But I also had Curtis at 200 yards rushing, but somebody said that number was too small. So I really don't know what people are expecting from the Washington football team offense this year, but Fitzpatrick is a guy that I see around, let's just say, 3,800 yards passing. So if that's 3,800 yards passing, who's catching the passes? You got Logan Thomas out there. He'll have a role. You'll have J.D. McKissick out there. He'll have a role. So you have all these different guys. So we'll see. T. T-Ho says, I'm sure Samuel and Adams will make the team. We will definitely see. Like I said, I'm not so sure that Adam Humphries is a lock, but we'll see. I'm probably wrong, but we shall see what happens. I just feel like we drafted some young guys that can play. We drafted them for a reason. Even guys like AGG was drafted by this regime. So, you know, it's all about having your guys and things of that nature. Adam Humphries is on a one-year deal. If a younger guy comes in and outplays him, why not go with the guy that you've invested draft capital in that can, you know, help shape the future for this offense? So it's going to be a lot of moving parts, lots of moving pieces. Players that I'm excited to see this year coming back, Landon Collins. I know a lot of people don't like Landon Collins. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see if he's going to play at a great level. I'm not saying Pro Bowl or All Pro level. I'm just saying at a decent to great level, or good, decent to good, even. I'll take that. And maybe he's a piece that you can move via trade, even if it's for a fifth-round pick at the trade deadline or a sixth-round pick at the trade deadline, instead of just cutting him next year. Who knows? But nobody's trading for that contract. But I'm just saying, if he's just balling out and he's not part of the future, then you might as well just, you know, move on from him. So I'm definitely intrigued. Big Man Iadonis, I'm glad that he's back. I posted something on the Back Row Redskins show Twitter. That's Back Row Redskins. Y'all check that out. And the post kind of went crazy. People were, you know, retweeting it, reposting it. And he's expected to have a big season. He's literally, you can argue and say that Matt Iadonis is the best interior pass rusher. I'm not talking about an overall defensive tackle play. I'm talking about in terms of pass rush ability. That bull rush, that strength, he's amazing. He's amazing. And I think he's one of the strongest guys on the team. Speaking of strongest guys on the team, you guys go check out the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. I put up a video of Wes Schweitzer and his crazy, insane workouts. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but it's up on Twitter. I mean, on YouTube right now. It's live. Y'all go check out Wes Schweitzer and his workout regime. It's crazy. He does things that are mind-blowing. You know, he's another strong guy. So, I look, camp is going to be so fun watching Wes versus Matt, watching Payne versus Flowers. Those are some big boys. Those are some big boys. Now, the tackles, I don't think either one of our tackles will have a chance versus Montez Sweat and Chase, but they're going to hold their own. You know, the rookie. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome, man. I'm just excited for the season. I'm just more so intrigued at this moment in time, the matchups in camp between offense versus defense. You got St. Juice, who talks so much trash. He's ready to take on Terry, and I am looking forward to that. That's going to be a matchup that's going to be prime time. Prime time, St. Juice and Terry. Of course, Terry is going to try to abuse the rookie, but the rookie has shown that, you know, he can do some things. You know, and with St. Juice and William Jackson III, that's definitely going to help to spruce things up for us. So, I'm loving that. I'm loving that aspect of the defense. We definitely need corners out there that are going to fight and battle, because the NFC East, Amari Cooper, Kenny Galladay, I mean, NFC East got some receivers. CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. I can go on and on and on. So you definitely need corners. So definitely looking for a St. Jude's versus Terry in camp. Preseason is going to be great. Just a lot of great things happening. But the next video I want to be dropping on YouTube will be the defensive playmakers for the Washington football team. I'm going to kind of rank them from maybe I might be able to get 10. When I did offense, I was only able to get 7 playmakers, but on defense, I'm pretty sure I can get 10. So I'll start from 10 and I'll work my way up to 1. So you guys look out for that on the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. So guys, man, this is my time. I hope you guys enjoyed this joint podcast. Half of this audio will be going to the Talking Sports with Manny podcast, and then the other half will be going to the Back Row Redskins Show podcast. So I will catch you guys on the next video. For those of you guys that are watching on YouTube, please like, please subscribe, please share, as I continue to bring you guys the best topics in sports, from fantasy football to NBA to Washington football, Lakers, Wizards, just whatever you like. This is a buffet. Pick what you like. So please like, please subscribe, please share. And for those of you guys that are listening to the audio version, I appreciate you guys. Head on over to YouTube. Support your boy. Like the Talking Sports with Manny YouTube channel. I do produce a lot of Washington football content. And until next time, you guys be blessed and you guys be safe. I will catch you guys on the next video. And I'm out. Peace.